From the Heartland with Pastor Ed Falgett. From the Heartland is a ministry of First Baptist Church, Cobden, Illinois. Here now is Pastor Ed.
Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning as we resume back to our expository journey through the book of Exodus. We are in Exodus chapter 20, and specifically this morning we are in verse 12. We are looking at the fifth commandment this morning. And as we again review just briefly, I just remind you that when we think about the Ten Commandments, we see the Ten Commandments in what can be called two tables. That is, we see the first four commandments having to do with our vertical relationship to God and faithful worship to Him. The last six of the Ten Commandments deal with our horizontal relationship with one another according to God's Word. We're reminded how Jesus even further summarized those Ten Commandments when He talked about, again, what is the greatest commandment? When the question was asked Jesus by one of the Pharisees, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Okay? There you are, the first table of the Ten Commandments, our vertical relationship with God. But then Jesus goes on further to say, and the second is like unto it, that is, love your neighbor as yourself. So we see, again, Jesus give credence to the entirety of the Old Testament, certainly the Ten Commandments, as He summarizes those ideas, those thoughts, those biblical commands. And then we could go to the other end of the spectrum where those commands are even further exhausted. That is, from the table of the Ten Commandments, the two tables, we can see the further exhaustion of those in what are 613 some odd commandments for the people of Israel. And we could even say even further that the principles that are found in those Ten Commandments, even reduced as Jesus did back to the two commandments, are even more manifold and a variation. That is, the principles found within. And so today, as we are reminded of the first four, again, still summarizing, we're reminded that we're to worship the true God, first commandment. We're to worship Him rightly. We're to worship Him regularly. And we're to worship Him reverently, or reverently and then regularly, according to the first four commandments. And now as we think about, again, what life in Christ looks like as we relate to each other, we come to the fifth commandment. As we look at the fifth commandment this morning, I want you to see with me, and you have these notes, this bare bones outline in your bulletin, but we're going to see how the fifth commandment relates to parents, how it relates to the world, and how it relates to our God. So those are going to be the three thoughts that we hang the rest of this morning's message upon. As we think about the fifth commandment, let's just go to it again in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And God's word says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word, and may He add His blessing to it. Let's pray together. And today, Father, we come, Lord, and we come, Lord, with the heavy responsibility, Lord, to soberly and with solemnity and with reverence and with submission hear your word and receive it. And receive it, Lord, as life. To receive it certainly as command, but to recognize that it is a good command. It is a benevolent command. It is a life-giving command. God, please, by your Spirit and for your glory and the benefit of your people, God, even now, so tune our hearts to welcome your word, to receive it, to embrace it, to cherish it, to love it, and by all the strength that you muster within us to obey it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this morning as we think about this command, I just want to remind you of Psalm 119 and verse 96. tells us that his commandments are exceedingly broad. And what we're reminded of in that passage is that when we see commands in God's word, they're rooted in principle, okay? And so there are specific circumstances that the Bible may speak to, but ultimately God's broadness in his commands apply to many different principles. And we don't want to abuse that. We don't want to take a verse in God's word and use it as a springboard to jump out of its context. But again, we're reminded that God's laws have many and varied different points of application. So today we're going to talk about certainly what it is to be obedient to parents, but we're also going to talk about what it is to raise obedient children, what it is to raise children that give deference and honor to their elders and certainly their parents. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how certainly it relates to society as a whole, that we raise children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord who respect themselves, who respect their parents, who respect their elders, and who ultimately respect and honor their God. So as we think about this command at its face value, we see honor your father and your mother. Again, it's interesting that this is the first of the six commands in regard to our vertical relationships with one another. So it's almost like God's going to home in on the family, particularly as we think about that area of relationship with parents and with children. So as we think about honoring this particular commandment, parents, as it relates to parents, that is the fifth commandment, we're reminded of the command to honor your father and your mother. I just want to say that this does not just speak to children who are not adults, but this idea of honor is an idea that continues on even when we become our own autonomous family union. That is, when a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife and the two become one flesh, this idea of honor is still an idea that God commands to be ongoing regardless of the fact that we as husband and wife, adult, have made our own autonomous family. We are still called to honor our father and our mother. And you know, I just remind you that the lack of honor in our world, the lack of honor, especially among parents receiving honor from their children, is a great blight on our culture today. And that idea has slipped into the church to create massive confusion and dysfunction. So as we think about, again, the fifth commandment, we're called to honor, even when we become an autonomous decision maker. Somebody say, well, when does that happen? We'll talk about that more in a moment. But as we think about the fifth commandment, to continue to honor, to give deference, to give respect, we go beyond the idea of honor to obeying our parents. Matter of fact, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6, we see the Apostle Paul address the church at Ephesus, address specifically the family in chapter 6. He's going to talk about husbands and wives in chapter 5, but in chapter 6, in verse 1 of the book of Ephesians, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the earth." I'm going to go ahead and read verse 4. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord," or the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I do want to see a distinction here as we see this fifth commandment relating to parents and children. I do want to see a distinction between honor and obedience. And I want to explain that distinction for a moment. As we are certainly to continue to honor our parents even after we become autonomous decision makers. Now, when do we become autonomous decision makers? Well, I believe that we become autonomous decision makers obviously, when we leave father and mother and cleave to our wife, and the two become one flesh. At that point, a new unit of authority in family has been created. But I think that even people who have been gifted with the gift of singleness can find themselves as an autonomous decision maker and not necessarily be under the command to have to obey their parents, okay? But we are always, regardless of age, under this command to obey parents when we live under the support of our parents. So if you're living at home under the support of your parents, at whatever age, you are to be obedient to your parents. If you're away at college and your parents are footing your bills, then you are to be obedient to your parents. Now, certainly we're reminded that God would never have us to be obedient when there's a direct command of disobedience to God. But one of the things that we want to be careful this morning is that we don't want to be pharisaical in the sense that we are always looking for the exception to the rule. You see what I'm saying? There's always those who, well, what about this? And what about that? And what if this? And what if they? And the fact is that there is a principle here, a commandment here, to honor parents always and to certainly obey parents while you are under the support of your parents. Now, as we move beyond, again, these simple commands, doesn't need a lot of explanation, again, to honor them, to obey them. We talked about, again, Pharisaical people who are looking for exceptions. And the exceptions are this, certainly, okay? When a parent would ask you to do something that God forbids, at that point, you're to not obey. You know, when a parent asks you to forbid something that God commands, then you're absolutely to obey. It's just plain and simple. And somebody says, well, what about this? You obey God and leave the consequences to Him. Many of you are familiar with Dr. Charles Stanley, who passed away this week. That's a statement that I've heard him say. And in my early years as a believer, I was nourished and nurtured through much of his ministry. I kind of outgrew some of those theological clothes that he may still wear. But the fact is, I would always hear him say, obey God and leave up to Him the consequences. And so, again, honor our parents always. Obey them, certainly, while we were under their support. But there is another principle here, not only to honor them always, obey them specifically while we're under their support, but there's also in the Bible, in God's Word, a command to provide for them. Matter of fact, we see that in Mark chapter 7. I want you to turn there. Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees, again, their Pharisaical loophole is always looking for the exception to the rule. This conversation that we find here in Mark chapter 7, and specifically in verses 6 through 9, let me just read it. But in Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, and he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me. And I want to just stop there and just say this. If you're here this morning and you have got a heart committed towards a disobedience that you know God is saying, hey, listen, this is wrong. You need to fix this. And you're right now saying, okay, I'm going to sing the songs. I'm going to pray the prayers. I'm going to look and nod and pay attention during the service. But God, I'm not going to do that. I know what you said, but I'm not going to do that. This, God's talking to you. And if that's my heart, God's talking to me. Let me read that again now. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. And he was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. Now, listen to what Jesus did. Now, I said something earlier, and I want you to see that exemplified here. I read the passage in Psalm 119 and verse 96. I quoted it where the Bible says that God's commandments are exceedingly broad. Now, we read in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. And we've talked about what it is to honor them lifelong with respect. Do them according to God. We're reminded that, again, we're to obey them. In a particular context, we're to obey our parents unless they ask of us what God forbids or seek to forbid what God commands. So, we've addressed that. But I want you to see how Jesus exalts the command. The command is not just to honor them and to obey them, but the command in the honoring, in the obedience, is also to provide for them. Look at, again, exemplified in what Jesus says. He's obviously specifically addressing the commandments, verse 9. He said, you set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your traditions. As you've come up with things that you like, as you've come up with different excuses, you've come up with different things that you want to do that's in direct opposition to what God has said. That's the tradition. And you've done that at the exception of the command. He says in verse 10 now, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would be of help to you is korban. Now, the New American Standard actually gives you a translation of what that Hebrew word korban means. The Hebrew word korban, as it is transliterated here in the text, that is the equivalent Hebrew into the equivalent English letter, that word literally means to be given or dedicated to God. Now, let's look at the specific context in which they were claiming this Pharisaical exception, this loophole, if you will. I'm not going to take care of my mom and dad when they're older in their years and in need of things that they can't provide for themselves because I have come up with a tradition that says, okay, how can I get around this and look spiritual? How can I get around this and look holy? Well, so here's what they were doing. They were claiming this traditional rite of Korban, saying, verse 12, this is what Jesus said that they were saying. This is what you were saying. You no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your own tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. So this idea of Korban was, I don't really have the resource to help you, mom and dad, because I've actually dedicated this resource that I have to God. And I'm going to disperse that out to the church, to the temple, to the service of the scribes and the Pharisees as I see fit. And so I can't give this to you because I've committed myself to this traditional practice of Korban. And Jesus said, you hypocrites, you worship me with your lips, but your heart is far from me, and I don't give a rip about what you have to say in the gathering of the elect. Matter of fact, Isaiah says it like this, who gave you permission to come trample my courts with your filth? That's a hard word, isn't it? What we see here is Jesus exhausting the command of the fifth commandment to say not only are we to honor them, Paul would go on to see that in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit exhausted in obeying them. We would see that even exhausted in Jesus when he says here, the text that we just read, to provide for them, that we're to provide for them. We're to make sure that they have their needs met. That is what it looks like. That is, and by the way, that command, as all the commands, they still stand. They still stand. You're to honor them always. Give them deference and respect. You're to obey them specifically when you're under their authority as they are providing for you. And you are to return the favor of years of sacrificial love, of dirty diapers and meals and you name it. Tiffany and I figured up that we would be cajillionaires by now. But we regret not a single penny. And as we read this morning in Psalm 127, children are a heritage. The New American Standard Translation translates it gift. They are a gift from the Lord. What a blessing and opportunity to raise up in nurture and admonition and fear and discipline, to raise up children to recognize that God has made them, that God sustains them, that God is good, and only God can save them. So today, as we think about this fifth commandment, as we think about it relating to our parents, we're reminded that we are to honor them, we are to obey them, and we are to provide for them. And again, we see the hermeneutic, that is the art and act of interpreting Scripture according to the law, and seeing its principles being played out in diverse and varied manifold ways. But let's move now to a second thought from the text. Not only do we see the reality, the face value of the command to honor father and mother, but I want you to see it not only relating to our parents, but I want you to see it relating to the world. Go back and look with me, if you will, at the text. And we see in the text in verse 12, honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, we're reminded that this is the first command with a promise. Now, as we think about this promise, I want you to be mindful that this idea of prolonged days is ultimately a principle to the fact of thriving, to the fact of certainly prolonged days. But as it relates not only to the individual, but as this command relates to the corporate of all people made in the image of God. Keep in mind, let's don't forget this biblical reality. These Ten Commandments are not just something that has been given to the church. These Ten Commandments abide in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And those who reject these Ten Commandments are those who are found in Romans chapter 1, who suppress this truth in unrighteousness because God has made it clear to them by way of their own conscience that this is right and true and even a command. And so as we think about, again, this command, some would even call this natural law, the moral commands of God found in the Ten Commandments. We're reminded that they are commandments that are given specifically to the entirety of all humanity. And they're therefore the purpose of benefit and thriving. So when we think about this promise, we're reminded that this command, this fifth commandment, as it relates to our world, it comes with a promise. And this promise certainly is born primarily in the institution of family. So again, we think about what's going on here in the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. Certainly it's in the context of a family. It's in the context of a father and a mother, the institution of family. As we think about this command relating to our world, we think about it in the context of family. It is in the institution of the family that we are to teach our children authority. We're to teach them to obey authority. We're to teach them to revere and honor those that are older than them, certainly those that are adults. I think it is a sad thing that is lost in our culture today, and that is teaching children to respond to adults with sir and ma'am. That is a terrible thing. And I would pray if you've not been doing that for your children, that you would begin doing that for your children, to teach them honor and respect, to teach them deference. It's not a patriarchal thing. It's certainly not an archaic thing. It's not just an antebellum South thing. It's not just a Hank Williams Jr. song thing. We say yes and we say ma'am. The fact of the matter is, it is significant to teach our children honor and respect. And there's nothing like giving titles to those, sir and ma'am. I would encourage that. I think it's an honorable thing. I think it's a reminder in their minds, even subconsciously, that this is an adult I'm talking to. God's word says there in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32 that we are to honor the aged. When you trace that word honor through the New Testament over and over and over again, God calls us in certain places and in certain contexts to honor one another and to certainly teach our children to honor adults. There have been times when, in raising four children who have grown up into adulthood now, that we've demanded them to say sir or ma'am, to say yes sir, to say no ma'am. And a lot of times that was in the context of what was clearly discerned is in an act of a rebellious spirit. Yes. Yes what? Yes sir. I know you didn't like saying it, but you're going to say it. And somebody says, oh, well, that's just some kind of, that's some kind of macho issue with a mom or... No, it's not. It's teaching our children respect, teaching them to respect. Matter of fact, I was listening to Paul Washer address this particular text, and he said that he had a young man in his church who had gone out to Los Angeles and visited John MacArthur's church, and he had the opportunity to have a picture taken with John MacArthur. And he, in his conversation with Paul Washer, said, yeah, I got to meet John. And Paul said, John who? And he said, John MacArthur. He said, to you, it's either Pastor MacArthur, Dr. MacArthur, or Mr. MacArthur. And again, a lot of people get hung up on that. They think that's some kind of power trip. It's not a power trip. It's a faithful reminder in our children's lives to honor adults. And so today, as we think about, again, that they are to learn authority, the institution of the family, this command with a promise. Again, as we teach our children to respond to authority. I mean, look at what's happening in our culture today. We live in America, in our small, brief window of history compared to the world scene, we live in the most anti-authoritarian age that America has ever known, period. I mean, we are, anti-authority. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to listen to you. You're not the boss of me. That's about how five-year-old it sounds, by the way. Everybody's under authority. We can't thrive unless we faithfully respond to authority. The President of the United States of America is under the authority of 300 some odd million people. Everybody's under authority, and ultimately we're all, church, government, and every breathing soul, we're under the authority of our Creator. And so today, as we think about this fifth commandment, as we think about the promise of living long in the land, this commandment was to initially to be taught and to be modeled in the context of family. So moving beyond this idea of teaching authority, we're reminded that we're also to model expectations. Let me just say that again. What kind of expectations are you modeling for your children? When they watch you relate to your spouse, what kind of relationship are they observing? Are they observing a relationship where a husband who is the leader of his home, who ultimately will stand responsible to God for that role, do they see him faithfully loving and sacrificially leading his family? That is, a leader. What did Jesus say? He said, if he who wants to be greatest in the kingdom becomes a what? A servant. I'm going to give up what I want so they can have the things that they need. And we think about, again, what it is to model the expectations in the home of honor, model the expectations of values and responsibilities, and also reward. What a joy. I don't think Caleb would mind me saying this. He's working in the sound booth this morning. But he said that he was in conversation with one of his higher ups, and they were just asking some personal things about him. And he said, you know, I've never seen my mom and dad in an argument. Now, the reason he hasn't seen us in an argument is because he's not omnipresent and omniscient. But he said that she was shocked. And the reason is because there's such a command of reverence for one another and respect for each other and honoring of each other, a need for each other. I need Tiffany Falcott, and she needs me. And in that relationship of need, there is born into that cake, built into that cake, baked into that cake, an honor, a respect. And so as we think about this commandment, again, this face value of honoring, obeying, and providing for our parents, we're reminded that it is a command with a promise. It relates to the world, to all society. They need to be taught how to respond to authority. They need to see that authority modeled. They need to see that respect modeled, that value modeled. They need to see it, again, in the context of the family, in the context of a husband and a wife. And what is the husband and a wife? What is marriage? We used to just could say a monogamous relationship lifelong. But now we have to define our terms and say the monogamous relationship of a biological man and a biological woman lifelong. And that's the reality of what a marriage defined is. And in that, we provide for our children safety, an indwelling sense of security, and also value. Now, by the way, when we get to the seventh commandment in regard to adultery, we're going to hammer what that is supposed to look like from God's word. So I'm just going to kind of briefly touch on it by way of example, again, as we think about what is modeling expectations in the context of the family that ultimately will provide benefit individually for the lives of our children, and then even further out into the society at large. So let's think about that more. Again, as we think about this fifth commandment relating to our world, born in the context, the institution of the family, again, for the thriving of humanity. Now, we say this all the time, and I want to say it again. God's word is not only true, but God's word is also good. God's word is good. It's not good just for us, it's good to us. And I think there's a distinction. But as we think about, again, this commandment as it relates to our world, keep in mind, what does the commandment, what is the promise specifically? But that your days may be prolonged in the land which I am giving you. I want you to know the seriousness of this commandment. This is not just a cute, you know, little Mother's Day sermonette. By the way, we don't do sermonettes here. Somebody said that sermonettes make Christianettes who go into the kitchenette and smoke cigarettes. I don't know. For the first 3 years of my ministry, that was the deepest theological thing I knew. And I haven't forgotten it. But this is serious. I mean, this is super serious. Matter of fact, I want to show you how serious this is. Turn with me, if you will, just a chapter over to Exodus chapter 21, and look there, if you will, at verses 15 and 17. Look at verse 15 of Exodus chapter 21. He who strikes his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Look at verse 17. He who curses his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. You think, man, that just sounds, wow, just kind of over the top, just so strange and awkward in our ears. Oh, it gets more awkward. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21. You know, we're still thinking about the seriousness of this fifth commandment. Look at Deuteronomy 21, and look specifically, if you will, in verses 18 through verse 21. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or mother. Now, let me just stop, by the way. I want you to know in a world, in a period of human history, where in many different cultures and among many different nations, women, girls, even wives, were considered property. I want you to see what God does in his word in a time period where women were given no deference whatsoever. He exalts the role of women, just like men, created equal in his image. And as he does that, he says in the command that you are to honor both father and who? Mother. So don't misunderstand. Don't misunderstand, again, the seriousness, the depth, the gravity of this commandment. So when we think about what is happening here in regard to a rebellious son who does not obey his father, think about this, or his mother. And when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them. Verse 19, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious and will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of this city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Take a minute to let that just kind of sink in. Now, you don't have a bunch of options with this text at this point, but to say one of two things. God's word is true, and God's word is right. You can either say that, or you can say this. I won't have that. Those are the only two options you have. You either embrace this as truth, or you reject God outright and totally. This is here in his word. Now, certainly there's a context here. That is, the context is the nation of Israel. But the reality is, now by the way, let me back up for a moment. And by the way, I want to give you a resource. There is a resource on the internet, it's slipping my mind at this point, but the resource is something to do with truth about God, God's truth. Anyhow, you said, yeah, that'll get me right there. But it'll come to me later. The fact of the matter is they've done a real good job exegeting this text so that you could see it not just as some little boy who forgot to clean his room and who's brought before the elders in stone, but someone who is an adult son who is in an act of ghastly sin, wickedness, and rebellion associated with drunkenness, gluttony, and all that is entailed and entertained in that. But they've done a good job of actually exhausting this text. The point of the fact is that this is someone who has become a massive and major blight on society. So we want to make sure that the context is clear. But I want you to understand that in this context, this is a context about them prospering in the land. Did you read that? In the land. The fact of the matter is to allow the gross rebellion, to allow the lack of authority, to allow the lack of honor and respect. And again, as we said earlier, it begins in the institution of the home and the family. If you don't model this, if you don't teach this, then you're going to send them out to be part of the problem that we're experiencing in the culture and the world today. Part of a massive and major problem God, again, takes this with all seriousness and all sincerity. And again, I just want to remind you that this is in the context of children, mothers and fathers in the family, the God-ordained family that God has prescribed in His Word. And it's interesting to me, and we don't have time to talk about and give all the examples. There are examples everywhere. But the fact is, when we look at our culture today, it seems that it has targeted its evil primarily at the family. And when you look at the 2015 Obergefell decision that ultimately sought to redefine an institution of marriage that ultimately has been intact for all human history, it is ultimately an attack on the God-given prescription of what husband and wife are to be as given in God's Word. We could go on and on. Hillary Rodham Clinton and her book, It Takes a Village, in that book sought and continues with this philosophy and ideology to undermine the role of mother and father and family unit as God has given it. To say that we need other institutions and areas of authority to superintend, to go above the family. We know how to do it better than the God-ordained family unit that God has given and prescribed in His Word. Again, all out and utter attacks on the path that God has given for raising up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, again, in summary of this one thought, this fifth commandment as it relates to our world is to be ultimately modeled and taught in the institution of the family, and it is also for the purpose of thriving in humanity. One final thought and we're done this morning, and that is this fifth commandment not only relates to parents, not only relates to the world, but it also relates to God. This is God's plan. God has ordained this plan. God has given this plan of husband and wife, of mother and father, raising up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is His path to dominion. Adam and Eve were given, again, the ultimate command to bear children and to take dominion over this entire creation. And the fact this morning is, when we think about how this relates to God, it is God's plan. No wonder the world expressed in the unregenerate heart seeks to suppress this truth. As we think about this fifth commandment of honoring father and mother and it being God's plan to, again, part and parcel, to see the obedience of taking dominion accomplished, I want you to recognize that there is what I call the First John principle. You know, in 1 John, in John's epistle, he says this, in regard to loving our brother, John said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said that if you cannot love your brother who you see, how do you think you're going to be able to love God who you don't see? Now, I take that by way of principle, and I call it the 1 John principle, and it can apply in different and various ways. But one point of application could be found here. If you can't obey and honor your mother and father who you see, how in the world do you think you're going to teach children to obey the God in whom they do not see? And I want you to recognize that it is certainly all tied together. And so as this command relates to God, certainly it's His path. In this command to take dominion, there is a 1 John principle. If I'm not going to teach my children to honor and love and respect me and their mom, how in the world can I think that they can transfer that lack to now giving honor and respect to God Himself? And then there's one final thought. As we think about this fifth commandment relating to God, not only is it the path to dominion, not only do we see the 1 John principle of how we teach our kids to love God, but I want you to think about the person Himself of redemption. I want you to think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ Himself. And you and I are reminded that in the incarnation of Jesus, that is having taken on human form, we're reminded that in the one person, the two natures, truly God and truly man, as we think about the true humanity of Jesus, we're reminded that in his humanity, he submitted himself to the will of his Father. We're mindful of the most climactic moment of sorrow in Jesus' entire life. We find him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and what is he praying? Father, not my will, but thy will be done. As we think about, again, this fifth commandment, as we think about it in the person of redemption, modeled in the incarnation of Jesus, we're reminded that Jesus, he honored his Father. Jesus loves his Father. Jesus gave deference, respect, honor, love, and obedience to the Father. And Jesus, in that obedience, has provided the only means where we too can be brought to his Father. You know, we're coming off the heels of last week's sermon on the Ascension. We briefly mentioned, by way of example, last week that when Mary goes to the garden tomb and she's weeping, she's wondering where they've taken Jesus. A man comes to her in that garden early that morning. Some would say even in the shadows of the early morning light. And she assumes this person to be the gardener. You know the story. And she asks the question, where have you taken him? And Jesus reveals himself to her, and she grabs him, remember? She holds him. And Jesus says to her, you got to let me go so that I can ascend to my Father and to your Father. Jesus' work on the cross in his incarnation, faithfully obeying his Father, provided for us fatherhood in God. And now through Christ, we are adopted sons and daughters of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ himself. I close our time together this morning thinking about the fifth commandment as it relates to God in the person of redemption, in particular, Jesus Christ himself. And I say to you, if God is not your Father, if you've not repented of your sin and turned to Jesus Christ in faith and in trust, I beg you, believe on Christ. Run to Jesus. Rest yourself in what he accomplished for you. He died and paid in full for the sins of those who will believe in him. And he also gives the righteousness that he in his obedience earned to those the same who believe in him. Be saved today from the punishment of sin and be clothed, as it were, in the righteousness of Christ, who has made his Father our Father.